is our last lesson this morning on how to stay positive in a negative world. Our text, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. The title of the lesson this morning is Success Comes in a Can. Success comes in a can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The fact is that every believer must develop in his life a true I can attitude, an I can spirit in his life. Oh, we all know the verse. We quote the verse. The verse is listed on plaques. It's listed, sewn into fabric. It's painted on nice boards and crafts. It's put onto bumper stickers and on the covers of Bibles. We all know the phrase, but do we truly believe it? Do we truly believe it? For the Christian, it must be more than a Bible quote or a bumper sticker. It's got to be a firmly held belief, something that is in their heart that they can succeed in and through the power of Jesus Christ. Many Christians have chosen Philippians 4:13 as their life verse. Some of those, it was maybe because somebody they love or respect has that as their life verse, and they wanted to have it for that reason. Some, it may have been a careless choice, didn't put much thought into it, but I think that most people that have chosen that verse for their life verse is because God has brought them through something. God has brought them through what would have been an impossible situation, except for Christ. And that verse became very real for them and very powerful for them, and they realized that they can do all things through Jesus Christ, and that has become their life verse as a result. It is truly a firmly held belief for them. Beloved, God wants us all to be successful. Now, success is not a bad word. Success would be what the world wants us to have. I mean, that God wants us to have. Now, it's not the type of success that the world gives. But in fact, God has promised for us success. To a particular group of people, he has promised success. He's promised good success to a particular group. What group is that? Well, we're told in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A promise given to us. Success as a Christian. Good success in our lives. And I believe that as God prospers the Christian, that success filters through and travels into every area, every part of their life. It's not just a matter of, oh, I've got a good understanding of the Word of God, or, oh, I've got a success in my personal walk with God. It becomes, I've got success in my family. Oh, I've got success in my finances. Oh, I've got success in my workplace relationships, and I've got success. Success just starts to abound in your life as a Christian because of the blessings of God. And if we're going to see that, I want to give you several points this morning about the I can attitude, the spirit that we should have as Christians. First of all, success requires a positive attitude. I want you to write in the space next to that that I've put down in quotes, I want you to write, I can. I can. This is what we're talking about, having a positive I can attitude. In whatever situation arises, in whatever thing that you may be dealing with, we need to have that type of a spirit, that success is possible, that I can. In Philippians 4, if we just back up a couple of verses, we can see the context in which this was written. He says in verse number 11, on through our text this morning, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He's saying, hey, whatever situation I'm in, you understand Paul was writing this when he wrote this to us. He was in prison. He's saying, I've learned that whichever situation I'm in, too many of us have learned that when things are going good, we can. But when things are going bad, we feel like God deserted us. God's left us. Somehow he forgot about us. How did this happen to me? But Paul said, in whatever situation, we've got to maintain and have a positive attitude. Why? Because God is on the throne, he's in control, and we can be successful as Christians and in our lives in and through the power of God. Albert Schweitzer said, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. That's what we're talking about this morning. That positive spirit, that positive attitude. A spirit-led Christian stays positive even when things are going bad. Now, that's a battle against what we call the flesh, because our flesh doesn't want to stay positive. And listen, you're looking at a, what you might call pragmatic type person, right? I mean, a realist, right? Now, you all know my wife, she's just an optimist. I mean, she, but God gave her to me to help me because I need that. Because situations arise and this is a struggle for me. I've got to stay positive. Stay positive. And Mary helps me with that because I look at it and, of course, I make it spiritual and, you know, I'm just looking at the reality, you know. but hey, is God still in control? Does God know? Yeah. God knows. A spirit-led Christian, don't get in the flesh. Don't allow your flesh to pull you down. Stay on top. Be positive. Paul wrote this when he was suffering in prison. You can have this even in hardship because it's not based on external circumstances but on the resource that you have within. Jesus Christ. Often, God allows us to go through trials in life to help us learn how to be content, to help us learn how to be able to do this. That amazing songwriter, Fanny Crosby, who penned so many songs, many that we still sing today, well, actually over 7,000 songs that she wrote in her life. It's amazing that songs like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Praise Him, Rescue the Perishing, songs that she penned. But of all of these things that she wrote, probably the most applicable for us today would be a poem that she wrote about herself. When she said, oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. You see, it was a choice to stay positive. It was maybe you in your life are going through some great tragedy or trial at this time. You see, she said, to sigh and weep because I'm blind, I can't and I won't. Are you going to say, oh, sigh and weep? Whatever burden you're carrying, whatever heartache you're facing, whatever struggle you're dealing with in your life right now, would you say, oh, I'm just going to crawl up and die? I'm just going to sit down and cry. Or are you going to make a decision to maintain a positive attitude. A positive attitude. That's what is given to us here. We see that in this passage of Scripture. He says, I can. Not only do you need a positive attitude, but you need to have a planned action. Success requires a planned action. Right next to that in the quotes there, would you put I can, like we did in the first point, put I can, but then right next to that, put do. I can do. It's a positive action. There, a planned action. There's got to be an action. There's got to be something, you know, put some feet to your prayers. There's got to be something that you're doing. Slothfulness and success are arch enemies. In order to be successful, you must be self-motivated. You must be willing to add the word do to your I can. You know, it's like two young people arguing, and one's like, well, I can do that. And the other says, well, then do it. And he says, well, I don't want to right now. You know, well, whatever they're comparing, it may be jump off of something or you know, swing across the stream or, well, I could do that. Well, go ahead. Well, I don't want to right now. You know, oh, well, we all have a lot of things. We look and we say, oh, I can, but we've got to have a planned action. How are we going to do that? We've got to put feet to our prayers. We've got to put actions to our plans. Some scriptures I've given you here on this spirit of slothfulness. There's lots in the scripture about slothfulness. You can read through those at your own leisure. I didn't put in even half of the scriptures there are just in Proverbs dealing with slothfulness, but I wanted to give you this morning some symptoms of the slothful. Maybe you could use this as a gauge for yourself, a thermometer or a barometer to look at your own life and say, am I slothful? Do I need God's help to overcome this in my life? You're going to have to be real honest with yourself, because the first one here is that a slothful man does not believe that he's slothful. This is a given characteristic of a slothful man. Oh no, he would never admit that he's slothful. He would not describe himself as slothful. He would just say he you know, works other times, or works a different way, or, you know, he just, I mean, if you called him slothful, boy, he wouldn't like that. He never is going to admit it. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. I mean, if seven godly men walked up to him and said, listen, you've got a problem with laziness. You've got a problem with slothfulness. You need to get out of bed. You need to pursue a career. You need to accomplish something in your life. You know, he wouldn't see it. He wouldn't see it. He doesn't believe he's slothful. That's because slothfulness is not necessarily his goal. It's not like in his mind he thinks, well, I want to be slothful. It's just who he is, and it's a byproduct of the lazy spirit that he has. A slothful man will always have an excuse to avoid hard work. He'll always have an excuse. There'll be some reason. It could be one of 10,000 different things that arise. In Proverbs 22, verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the street. He's saying, I can't go out. There's a lion out there. No, I can't do that. Well, the slothful man always going to have an excuse. You go out and you take care of the lion, and there'll be something else. There's some excuse. It's just a pattern of his life. And if you find yourself always making an excuse why you can't get to work on time, why you can't be available to do what needs done. Oh, I would love to help you, but I'm just saying, if it's a pattern of your life that you are quick with an excuse for why you can't participate, you might wonder, maybe I'm a little slothful. Maybe I have a tendency towards laziness and I need to work on that. This gets a little bit harsher here. Thirdly, a slothful man is not going to be self-sufficient. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 4 says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold." So you see the excuse there. "Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." So it comes harvest time, and the slothful man, the one that said, "Oh, it's too cold to plow today, it's too hot to go outside and work, it's too hard to attempt this task," when it comes time to pay his bills, he's going to come to somebody else in the church and say, "Hey, man, I just don't have money to do this." "Why don't you have money?" "Well, I mean, I know when they offered me that overtime, I didn't take it. I know when I could have worked those 2 weeks, I really didn't have anything planned, but since they were offered time off, I went ahead and took it. It wasn't family vacation, it wasn't something planned, they didn't need anybody, and they said, if you didn't want to work tomorrow, you don't have to, and so I didn't. And now, I don't have money to pay my bills. I've wasted my money on riotous living, and now I need from you." That's what happens with a slothful man. My kids sold their first cord of wood this last week. We delivered it. It was too far away. Oh, my goodness. But there was no traffic, so that helped. But we delivered it out there. And there's an older gentleman, probably late 70s. He was out there, and they didn't even wait for us to finish unloading. He went and got an axe, and he was splitting some of it down into kindling and went and started a fire in the fire pit, you know. And he's out there, and his daughter was out there. And I looked at their backyard, and their backyard was immaculate. I mean, beautiful backyard, very nice done. Pavers and fire pit and little pavilion type thing built, and nice landscaping all the way around the backyard. And I just told him, I said, "Man, I know this is a lot of work. It's beautiful." And by that time, their son had come out of the house, which was probably in his 40s. And this is what their son told me. He said, "Well, it's all him, the, you know, almost 80-year-old. Well, sometimes she helps, and usually they're complaining at me why I'm not helping." That's why he's 40-something years old and living at home. He always has some excuse why he's not helping. Because he's slothful. And when harvest time comes, he has to beg off of mom and dad. "I can do. You've got to put some feet to your prayers." This last one is very descriptive. He lives life dreaming about what could be done, about what could be. "Boy, I could do that. I could do that. Boy, this would be great. Wouldn't it be awesome to be this? Or wouldn't it be wonderful if I got this job and had this much money? Or boy, I wish I could drive that car." And it's all dreams because they aren't doing anything. In Proverbs 21, verse 25 and 26, he says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Isn't that descriptive? He's got this dream, and it's just eating him alive. "Boy, this is what I want." But he won't get off of his lazy tail and do something. Get to work. Get after it. Put some do in that can. "I can do." That's what it takes. It requires a planned action. Success is not just going to happen because you're dreaming. Not just because you say, "Oh, I've got the spirit of I can." You've got to have that spirit, yes. You've got to have a positive attitude, but you need to have a planned action as well. And you need to push through and accomplish something. Put some dew in the can. Ooh, hey. Amen. Yeah. Listen, you need to thank God for the people in your life who push you to achieve. There was an elementary boy in school. he was told that he had to stay after school and he had to write on the board 100 times, "I am an underachiever." Now today, a teacher would be fired for making a student write that. But back when they had discipline in the classroom, this kid had to write, "I am an underachiever." And he completed his 100th time, and he had space on the board, and he wrote one more sentence. He put, "I am not an underachiever. I happen to be tortured by a teacher who is an overexpecter." So many young people feel that that's what it is, that just the authorities in their life expect too much. Listen, you need to praise God if you've got a parent or a boss or a pastor, somebody in your life who is pushing you to achieve, who's expecting something from you, who's pushing you to accomplish something for God. J.C. Penney, who was born in 1875, the seventh of 12 children, grew up in a pastor's home who was also a farmer, and that work ethic, my dad always said he felt sorry for young boys who didn't get to grow up on a farm because of the work ethic that's put into you because of what has to be done, getting up early and accomplishing those tasks day by day by day. And the fun that he had growing up on a farm, but J.C. Penney grew up on a farm, and he said, at least he's attributed to having said, "If I could wrap all my father's counsel into one sentence, it would be, get busy, son. Get busy, son." And J.C. Penney built that successful retail empire off of that kind of work ethic, the do. God commands us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And God has no patience with laziness. You and I should have no patience with laziness in our own life. I know on occasion the flesh gets in and the flesh kind of, "Boy, I just want to lay here. I just want to relax today. I've earned it. I deserve to just sit around." There's nothing wrong with getting away. There's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. But you know in your heart if you're just being lazy. And we as God's people shouldn't put up with it in our own lives. We should say, I need to get up and do something. I need to accomplish something. If you have an entitlement mentality, you need to get rid of it. The world doesn't owe you anything. Get that unbiblical philosophy out of your head. The Bible still says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. You got to get up and do it. Got to get up and do it. And also, if you're going to be a success, success requires a pure application. Right next to that in quotes there, the "I can do," and then add all things. All things. So, beloved, the question is this a blank check from God? Is this literally that I can do anything I want to? Literally, I can do all things. Whatever I want to do, that I can do that. Is that what this is? Or would it be necessary for us to have a pure application of the promise given to us here? I think that's what we're talking about. There's obviously some level of guidance added along with this given to us. And if we take Scripture as a whole, the Scripture guides us. First of all, there's three great whatsoevers in the Word of God that should guide what we do. If we're talking about doing all things, well, let's look at the three whatsoevers that are found in the Word of God. First of all, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And Colossians 3, just a few verses down, 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks." And in Colossians 3, 23, he says, "And whatsoever ye do, do heartily as unto the Lord." So in this, all things that are available for us to do, As you attempt to do anything in your life, ask the question, can I do it to the glory of God? Can I do it in the name of the Lord while I give thanks for it? Can you do it heartily as unto the Lord? I think if you applied those three principles to your life to guide the whatsoever, the all that is given to us here, it would give you a pure application of the principle that I can do all things. It's not anything and everything that I want, but those things which fit inside of the will of God for my life. Those are the things that we can successfully accomplish. Success also requires a particular axiom. Now, I have put these beginning words in there, but the axiom is through Christ. Write that down next to it there. I can do all things through Christ. Now, there's many young people watching, and I know axiom's a word that maybe isn't used quite as often, and some might not know. You know, kids, you can try and guess right now. You can tell your parents, what is an axiom? An axiom is a principle that does not need any proof. An axiom is a truth that is accepted, that is self-evident. It's there, and there's nothing else needed. And so we have this here, this particular axiom. This is the truth regarding all of this. It's, I can do all things. But if we left it there, I think we understand that that's not true. We've got to complete this to make it a true statement, to make it something that makes it powerful, and that is through Christ. It's through Christ that we can do all things. It's not in and of ourselves, but in and of the power of God. I need Christ's wisdom to accomplish what he has for me. I need Christ's strength to accomplish what he has for me. I need that power just to overcome my old flesh. My own desire to stay in bed. My own desire to sit and weep and cry. Just, it's too much. I can't take it. How am I going to get past that? Through Christ, which strengthens me. How am I going to get past the desire to just sit around all day? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. God has to do this work, and he does it in and through us. I read the story of a Christian who worked for a very large corporation. He was one of their most successful troubleshooters. It seemed like no matter what problem he was faced with, he would find a solution. He was so successful at solving these problems that he was called in and flown to all over the country to different plants and places to solve these different problems. And he became so well known across the company that the CEO had him flown to his office. He came into the CEO's office, and the CEO said, I do not know what problem-solving seminars you've been to. I don't know what background of deductive reasoning courses you've taken. I don't understand where you get all that you have, but I would like you to put it into a class, and I want to teach every single person, maintenance facility operator, every plant manager, they are all going to be required to go through your class so they can all get what you have, so they can all solve problems like you solve them. And the man looked at the CEO and said, well, sir, when I tell you how I solve these problems, I don't think you're going to want me to teach a class on it. And the CEO's like, why? I mean, it works. We know it works because you're successful. Why wouldn't I want you to teach a class? And he says, well, sir, you see, before I begin to solve any problem, I stop. And I bow my head, and I say, God, I see the problem, But will you help me see the solution? You see, sir, I'm a Christian and I rely on God. And before I begin to tackle any problem in my life, I ask God for wisdom. And God has miraculously seen fit to give me wisdom and to help me in each of these situations that I've been asked to accomplish for the company. But it's not me, it's Christ that worketh in me. That's the testimony of a Christian that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I ask you, how is your reliance on Him? A lot of us Christians have the I can do all things. We've got that. And we got a real get her done attitude, and we grab life by the tail and accomplish it and just go after it, and we're going to find a way. But what about our reliance on Christ, the power that worketh in us? Beloved, prayer is a declaration of our reliance on God. Just as that man told his CEO, before I begin to tackle a problem, I say, God, I see the problem. I ask you to give me wisdom to see the solution. From the very onset, he was recognizing he needed God's help. He was showing his reliance on God. And beloved, a lack of prayer is a testimony of the exact opposite. So how is your reliance on God? You say, well, I think I rely on God. Do you carry everything to God in prayer? Because that is the truth of how much you're relying on God. That's where you're saying, God, I need you. Every time you start a project without asking God for his help, you're telling him, I can do all things without you. But every time we begin a project and we call on God, we're saying, I can do nothing without you. But I can do it with you. You're saying, I need your help, God. I need your strength. Who do you think will be the most successful? You see, as we wrap up this morning, there's a truth given to us in this passage of Scripture. The truth is that one success leads to another. Could I say it like this? One success gives you strength to succeed the next time. Our verse says it like this: I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It doesn't say who strengtheneth me. I think there's the implication here that there's strength gained by continued success. God gives you success, and that gives you strength, and you realize it was Him, and you further rely on Him, and that strength adds to the strength that you have, and the strength that you deal with and face gives you success the next time. What he's teaching us is that success begets success. And if you follow the pattern, the principle given to us here, you'll begin to succeed in ways that you never thought possible. Each success will give you confidence for the next. Albert Schweitzer also said, one who gains strength by overcoming obstacles possesses the only strength which can overcome obstacles. You see, by being successful, you gain strength to be successful. Yes, you can. Success comes in a can. And if you look down in the can, you're going to find a positive attitude, a planned action, a pure application of the principle, and a particular action which gives us the power to succeed. Staying positive in a negative world, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning and the time around your word. We pray that this very familiar verse, Lord, I doubt there's one listening today that could not have finished the phrase. If I said, I can do, I think most anybody would say, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But Lord, I pray maybe some new light was shown on it this morning, some new importance on the truths that it's in and through the power of God, and it's not just a dream. We've got to get out and do something. Lord, I pray you would help us to stay positive in a negative world in and through the power of God at this most trying time in our country. Lord, I pray you'll be with us here in a few minutes as we go into the morning service. Lord, I pray some would tune in that need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they would see their need of a Savior today. Thank you for your love in this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.